Case Closed, Crime Stories from the Golden Age of Radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. Thanks for joining me this Wednesday for another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime. Beginning this week with Broadway Is My Beat, we'll hear the Frank Briscoe murder case from July 10th, 1950. Then it's 5-Minute Mystery with License for Murder. We'll finish off with Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and Mr. Victor's Daughter. That episode aired January 15th, 1950.
From Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway's My Beat, the thrilling drama of murder and mystery and the people who walk the great white way, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. Covers the sun, hangs a veil over Broadway, and for a time Broadway is dimly seen, dimly heard. For an instant, Broadway is stunned, but then it recovers. It leaps to embrace the false night. The neon flares, the spectaculars explode, the banners are hung. Welcome, night. And for the time of the mist, it's good on Broadway. But then the sun breaks through again and spoils it, and the lights are turned off in sullenness, and backs are turned on the day. At police headquarters, you stand at a window and consider it. But you're interrupted. A man is dead in an apartment hotel, maybe 2 minutes from headquarters. Look into it, Danny. And you nod because you know that's the way it would come out. It takes 2 minutes. You know that because when you get out of the elevator, a man is standing there with a watch in his hand.
Oh, 2 minutes and 20 seconds. On the nose. Oh, I'll put my money on the nose of you boys from headquarters every time. You're deaf in a sprint.
They told me a man was killed here.
Yes, they told you true. Care for a look-see?
Let's look, anyway.
It's right down the hall in 4B. Come along, fella. Here we are, fella.
Locked.
Oh, of course it is. I locked it.
You took it on yourself to do that?
Naturally, I'm the manager. I do many things by night, by day. I perform. I like it when you make it seem I've done something criminal. I only lock the door to keep the snoopers out. You know how they are, messing about, fingering clues, sticking their noses.
Sean, you found him like this?
Exactly. He hasn't moved an inch.
Who was he?
Mr. Frank Briscoe. A pleasant gentleman. Oh, always had a joke for me. I remember.
Whenever you're through.
Oh, yes. Yes, been a tenant here for 4 or 5 months, I'd say.
Tell me about it. When you heard the shot, what you did? Were you alive?
I didn't.
Didn't what?
Oh, I didn't hear a shot. What attracted me was the smell of smoke. I rushed in.
Hello.
The waste basket was on fire, and Mr. Briscoe...
Wait a minute. What's that?
Hello.
Oh, it's fallen there. It's been doing that ever since. The receiver's just dangling there. I wouldn't touch it.
Hello.
No, not me.
Hello.
Hello?
Frank, what's the idea of keeping me waiting? What happened? You told me to hang on. It's Eddie. You're not Frank. Who are you?
The police.
The police? What's happened? What's happened up there?
You're talking to Mr. Briscoe?
Yes. My name's Eddie Cutler. I called Frank for a golf day. He said, excuse me, there's someone at the door. Hang on, he said.
Where are you now, Mr. Cutler?
At my place of business on Wall Street. What's happened?
A murder. Stick around, Mr. Cutler. I want to talk to you.
Well, what do you know about that? All the time.
There must be things for you to do, manager. Go do them. After that, it was a matter of getting out of the way while the boys with the dusting powder tried to raise fingerprints and the boys with the cameras tried to get presentable photographs of a dead man. Known as routine, the impersonal proddings as to why time and circumstance conspired to make Frank Briscoe a victim of murder. My part of it was to get back to headquarters and make phone calls and have other people make phone calls and get out such and such file and finally come up with a starting point. Frank Briscoe was married, now separated from his wife, Sylvia. More phone calls and prodding. Sylvia managed an employment agency in the Empire State Building, an agency for executive placements only. I went there.
Please sit down.
Thank you. Ms. Briscoe.
Look, if you like, relax.
I'm from the police, Mrs. Briscoe.
Oh? Name?
Danny Clover.
Well, let me understand you. If you're working now, why do you come to see me?
Because of your husband.
Why ruin a sunshiny day? Look at it out there. People drowning themselves in it.
Your husband's dead. Don't let me stop you. Have your reaction, and we'll talk.
It's funny, you know. Things you leave behind you, forget about. And something happens. Comes back in a rush. Sunshine, sidewalks down there. The wonderful news you just brought me. I'm a little girl again, and I want to play hopscotch on the pavement.
I'm happy for you, Miss Brooks.
Thank you. You see, Frank was such a nothing. Now that you understand...
Not quite.
A nothing, Mr. Clover, is a nothing. Zero in an empty box.
Yet you married him.
And stayed that way for 3 months. One morning, I stepped out of the house into the sunshine and liked that better.
Why didn't you get a divorce?
Frank wouldn't give me one. For 5 years now, our conversation runs like this. Me. Frank, I want a divorce. Frank, no.
One thing I didn't tell you. Frank was murdered.
I'm glad for him. He had a horror of just wasting away. I wonder if that changes anything.
Like what?
His insurance policy. A large one. $100,000. Oh, Frank was a tricky one. He tried to woo me back by having it made out in my name. Tricky, Frank.
That's where the happiness comes, you know.
Sure, of course. Frank's been dead nothing. I blow on my fingernails about that. But $100,000? Oh, Mr. Clover, that's really something. Really something.
Her girlish ecstasy over the sunshine, the $100,000, the dead husband, made it harder. Because it made me sick. Because it made me greedy to book her for murder. But the happy, happy widow had answers that held. She had seen Frank only rarely from the day she'd walked out on him. Her lawyers handled it with him. No, she hadn't left her office that morning. Her secretaries, her clients, could verify if I didn't care to take her word. Then she began to tell me what she'd do with all that money. About the time she was a white queen in the African jungle, I walked out on her. Then the search for a kind word over a dead man. Maybe Eddie Cutler, the man on the phone, the man from Wall Street, had one. Maybe he'd look up from his ticker tape and give me one. Mr. Cutler?
Another moment, please. I wish I could let you in on this one. Now, if you retain me as your investment broker...
About Frank Briscoe.
Just one more minute. I can't let this get away. My clients come first. Pete, will you
put
get
that
me...
phone down.
I say...
Put it down. Your clients will have to do without you for an hour, maybe longer, maybe for days.
Well, I was only... All right. Pete, I'll call you back as soon as I'm rid of... Yeah. Now, just what is it you want of me?
I told you.
Oh, yes. But Frank. Poor Frank. Now, who would have dreamed...
Dreamed what, Mr. Cutler?
Well, isn't it plain that he'd be murdered? Die like that. You play golf with a man, you don't expect things like this to happen to him. Not to your golf buddy.
How well did you know him?
About that well. He'd call me, I'd call him, we'd arrange a little match for drinks. As a matter of fact, I was just calling him when... Oh, was it you I talked to on the phone in Frank's apartment?
Yeah.
I thought your voice sounded familiar. You pardon me for saying so, but you have a very pleasant voice.
Mrs. Briscoe, do you know her?
I never had the pleasure. Frank told me a lot about her, lots of times. No, I never had the pleasure. Anything else?
Yeah. The phone call you made to Briscoe. Tell me about that.
Well, I already did when
you... Tell me again. Did you hear a shot after Briscoe asked you to hang on?
A shot? No. I did hear a door open and muffled voices, nothing intelligible. And then there was a funny kind of noise, a kind of a pop.
Mm-hmm.
After that, well, you know about after that. Anything else?
Yeah. You. Are you glad Frank Briscoe's dead?
Am I glad? What a question. What a thing to say to a man.
I just thought I'd ask. Try the ticker tape, Mr. Cutler. Maybe that'll console you.
Danny?
You may take three giant steps, Tartaglia. Come on in.
I'm sorry, Danny, but I am not in the mood for levity today. We've got business to attend to.
I apologize.
Accepted.
Thank you. Now, what can I do for you?
Just sit there and admire the rapid manner in which New York's finest have come to your assistance.
Why should I do that?
Because I have in my hand a complete report of the dwellers who dwelt on the same floor of the apartment house in which Frank Briscoe was found deceased.
Oh, I'm proud. Tell me about it.
Roger. Wilco. And there's not much to tell.
But you'll tell me, huh?
Only this, Danny. There were three other denizens of that floor. Mr. and Mrs. C.P. Meston, who are living there for nigh on to 13 years and who are no trouble at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the manager was more than profuse in his plaudits of old C.P. He likes to play cribbage with them.
Thank you. Who else?
Then there's Mr. and Mrs. Milburn Jeffries, who live on a pension and a canasta board. Also, no trouble.
Happy home, huh?
Then there is a Miss Della Sloan.
Spinster and a double solitaire fan.
Oh, no, Danny, no. This Della Sloan is a young lady of 27 with a now-and-then kind of police record.
Now-and-then what?
Disturbing the peace, drunkenness.
What was she doing in an apartment house like that?
You know, that's what I can't figure. She checked in for one day, then checked out. Whimsical, huh?
Where is this Della Sloan now?
Oh, wait a minute. Now, here it is. At the tag end of my report. Central Park West, 2002. I answered all your questions, Danny. I did good, huh?
Tartaglia did real fine. He even supplied a good question. What made Della Sloan so whimsical? It was a question that begged an answer. I had to find out what it was. The address on Central Park West was a study in red brick respectability, overlooking the park, neat, scrubbed, and peaceful. A gray-haired man at the desk smiled and told me Miss Sloan lived on the third floor and said that was just to the left of the elevator, sir. It was all so peaceful that I hated to break it up.
Well, a long way from the bottles, so come on in. I'll show you there.
Miss Sloan?
Come on in. Very. Drinky? You want a little drinky, don't you?
I'm from the police.
Drinky? No? Oh, come on, mister. Come on.
Listen to me.
Oh, you're strong. I like it when you hold me. Come on, dance. The way you want everything, come on.
Now, look.
Palms and turnpike. Come on, move your feet. Come on, that's better.
Miss Sloan. Della. She went limp in my arms and her head fell downward against my chest. Like a tired dancer when the night's dancing is through. But the bullet hole in her back gave the setting another texture. There was no tiredness in her face, only the expression that is suddenly and forever caught in an instant of time. Della Sloan was dead. Della Sloan had been murdered.
You know, we once had a president who never voted in his life? That's right. He was Zachary Taylor, our 12th president. It seems that Taylor joined the army when he was in his early 20s and stayed in the service until just before he was elected president. While he was a soldier, he was never qualified to vote since he was never stationed long enough in one place. And strange to say, he didn't even vote for himself in the election which made him president. But today, through absentee ballots, most of our military personnel are given the chance to vote, because we, as a nation, have learned that the foundation of authority is in the full consent of the people. We now continue with Broadway's My Beat, written by Morton Fine and David Friedkin, and starring Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. When the trade winds blow in from the Hudson and summertime comes to Broadway, the season of rare enchantment, then the palm trees sway in the corner lunch stand to the whir of the electric fan, and the gourmet nods with satisfaction over the exotic tidbits, the juice from the papaya, the coconut milk, the knish. And Broadway lulls in its island paradise to a native tune entitled Hoop-Dee-Doo, and occasionally glances at the newspapers from the mainland. Man murdered in an apartment house. What the beachcombers hadn't found out about yet was about me. Woman shot to death while dancing with policemen. I put Della Sloan on the couch, walked over to the window. There was no one on the fire escape. The shot had come from there, but the murderer had fled. Only the small hole in the window, the fragments of broken glass on the rug. I called headquarters, reported it, then I turned off the radio. 2 minutes after that, the door opened. It was too soon. It couldn't have been the police.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It wasn't.
I didn't know Della had a call. I'll go.
No, don't go. Come in. Close the door.
I'm busting nothing up for Della, mister.
Close the door.
Sure enough. Hey, what's the matter?
I'm a policeman.
Oh. Hey, look at Della with you out again.
Who are you?
I'm Della's roommate, Betty Owen. Now, look at him.
Della didn't come home last night, did she?
So?
Did she?
No. I'm trying to tell you, I'm a hard...
Why wasn't she home? All right. Let's go to headquarters, Betty.
Mister, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Yesterday afternoon, Della had a phone call, and she wasn't in, so I took it. I gave the number when she came in a few minutes later. That's all I know.
What number?
I guess it's still over here on the pad. Yeah. Yeah, here. Here it is.
Thanks.
Hey, you want some help with Della? I know what to do. Come on, sugar. Wake up.
Betty.
Hey, mister, you better give me a hand with the clothes, huh?
She's dead, Betty. Murdered.
Murdered? Hey, what is this? Hey, you got the wrong idea. I didn't do it. What?
Located, Mr. Petty?
1654 West 12th, right next to the mobile gas station. You can't miss it. And hurry down for the 1 cent sale. This is the last day, you know. We're about to close. Many more.
I'll do that, Mr. Petty.
Are you being helped, please? We have many wonderful bargains. These beach balls, for instance, two for the price of... Well, you see the signs, and we blow them up.
Mr. Petty, where is it?
I'm Mr. Petty. You have a prescription you want filled? We can even take care of you in that department.
I'm from the police, Mr. Petty.
Oh, official? Oh, you want a discount? I'm afraid...
Official.
Oh, but everything's in order. I haven't been robbed, to my knowledge. My prescription books are examined regularly by the state...
Della Sloan. You know her?
Della Sloan. Let me see now. It registers. That name registered.
Think about it, Mr. Petty, and fast.
Oh, don't do that. I get all flustered when people rush me. I have it, Della Sloan, of course.
You'll tell me, too, huh?
Please. I don't know Della Sloan from Adam. Or Eve. But she called here, told me her name. Interesting voice.
Why did she do that?
Yesterday morning.
What did she want?
She gave me her name, said a man had called her from this number. Said he must be here waiting for her to call back. Would I page him, please?
Page, like this was a hotel or something. But you did that because her voice was interesting.
Exactly.
Was the man here?
He was, yes. He was eating a cheese nut burger, the special of the day at the Fonteria. When I called out, was there someone waiting for a call from a Miss Della Sloan? He put down his nut burger and said he was, thank you. That's as far as I ever got with Miss Della Sloan.
Who was the man?
I haven't the vaguest. Except I gathered he was a friend of one of my sometime customers.
Who would that be?
Mrs. Sylvia Briscoe. She comes in here, as I said, sometimes, for a tonic or a special.
You said you thought they were friends, the man and Mrs. Briscoe. Why?
Because yesterday, when Mrs. Briscoe walked in, the man got up from the soda fountain, tipped his hat to her, and talked quietly. From my observation of the world, friends do that. You know another reason?
No, I don't, Mr. Petty. I really don't. After that, there wasn't much of the day to work in. I called on Mrs. Briscoe, but she wasn't home. Then I phoned headquarters and found they'd released Betty Owen. Her alibi that she'd spent the whole day with friends checked. Then I went home for some sleep. At 7:30, I had my breakfast. A little after 8, I was at Sylvia Briscoe's apartment. It was a sorry hour to disturb a lady, but the lady had attained the status of number one murder suspect.
You got your nerve.
I didn't want to disturb you at your office.
Disturb me? You disturbed me once. That's your quota. Now get away from here.
Can't do that. You better invite me in, Mrs. Briscoe.
Invite? You must be out of your mind. You police...
Slip on a coat. The squad car's downstairs.
Why?
May I come in?
Why? You won't be here long enough to want to sit down, will you?
Have you collected your insurance yet?
My lawyer told me yesterday it'll be a matter of a few weeks.
Then you'll play hopscotch.
All over the world.
I doubt it.
Oh? I apologize, Mr. Clover. I was rude. A woman doesn't like to be caught with her hair up. Please sit down. Give me a cigarette.
All right. Light.
What have I done?
You tell me. Murder?
Don't be a fool. Would you like coffee?
No, thanks. Miss Briscoe, a man named Joseph Petty, a druggist not far from here, says he knows you.
And I know him. Does that make your case stronger?
He said you were in his store yesterday morning.
For a prescription, a tonic. Is there a heading in the penal code for that?
You talked to a man.
The things a woman will do nowadays. Disgraceful. What man?
I'm asking you that. You want to think about it?
Oh, no. I remember. A man tipped his hat to me.
That's right. That one.
He said, and I'll try to quote him exactly, "Hi, baby doll." And he went on from there, Mr. Clover. He said, "I'll buy you a malted. Who knows what wonderful things can happen from therein?" That's what he said.
Look, Mrs. Clover.
No, you look. That's what he said. "Hi, baby doll." Well, I've been taught a defense against that. I flounced my bustle, pointed my thumb, and said 23 skidoo. And so help me, I never saw the cad before. And you know, I wouldn't know him if I ever saw him again.
That's how it blew up in my face. There was no link between her and the murder of Della Sloan. Still, I knew Della's murder was somehow a part of the earlier killing, an afterthought in the death of Frank Briscoe. At headquarters, I went round and round with it. Round and round. Yes?
Tartaglia, Danny. In the matter of Della Sloan, we have been digging through the records and...
And what?
Not much, Danny. But I will give you a rundown. There may be something you can glom on to.
Can you come with me for a minute?
Hold on, Tartaglia. What do you got, Michael?
Lab boys have got pictures of all from Della Sloan. Her apartment, the fire escape, things like that. Want to take a look?
Yeah, let's go.
Hey, Danny, I heard that. Who are you going to take care of first, me or him?
Him, Tartaglia. Call me back. Come on, Michael.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything in the pictures, Danny, but you being there at the time, they might have a message for you.
Yeah. Nothing I didn't see before. I'll take them back with me, though, okay?
Sure, take them.
Hello? 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 I know you're there, Danny. I heard you walk back into your office. Come on, answer me, Danny.
I'm sorry, Gino. I thought I hung up. The phone must have slipped off the hook. Wait a minute. Say that again.
Huh? Hello? 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 Is that what you want me to say?
You've been hanging on the phone all this time?
Yeah. You told me. Hold on, remember? Now, back Della Sloan.
Hey, do something for me. Call this number.
What number?
Walker 8671.
Walker 8671.
Tell whoever answers it's no good. The insurance people won't pay off. You got it?
Yeah, I got it. But, Danny, what does it mean?
Right now, Tartaglia, you got the whole day to worry about what it means.
26.
car 26. Over.
Go ahead, 26.
Suspect just left the building, Danny. Entering the cab.
Tail it. No siren.
Okay. Car 26. Still with us, Danny?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Cab is now entering Grand Central Overpass. Maybe you better put someone else on with us. We might lose it.
Okay. Keep on it.
Danny? Over.
Go ahead.
Suspect entered apartment building on Madison. Shall we take him?
No. Just relax. I'll be right up.
Oh, hello, Mr. Clover. Say, we're practically going steady, aren't we?
Then I get invited in, huh?
Sure. Come on in. Oh, you know Mr. Cutler.
We've talked.
Silvio, what kind of a trick is this? What are you trying to do with
me? Relax, darling. I thought I'd finish with you, Mr. Clover. What do you want?
You? Him?
Mr. Clover, let me explain it to you. There are some things of Frank, golf clubs
that
I...
Don't be so stupid, Ed. It's obvious what the gentleman wants. You for murder.
You didn't hear me, Miss Briscoe. You, too.
I'm getting out of here. I know where you are.
You followed Eddie here, didn't you? It was you who called him. Eddie. You fell for that stupid trick. You brought the policeman here. Stupid Mac.
Don't forget, you planned it with me.
Pretty cleverly, too. Your idea, Eddie?
No, the hers.
But it was you got Della to take a room near Briscoe's apartment, Eddie. When you heard him come home, you called him. Told him to hold the phone and walk down the hall into his room and shot him.
My Eddie, he did that well.
Shot him, then set a fire in the wastebasket to attract attention. Walked back to Della's room and waited till someone picked up the phone.
Well, how could you have known that? How?
I was lucky. It happened to me today. The same pattern. But Della...
She shot Della to keep her quiet. Della would have kept quiet for me.
You miserable Mr. Clover. Eddie shot that girl.
I did not. You did. You did, and you know it.
It gets worse and worse.
What about it, Miss Briscoe?
Look at him. Just look. He went to pot after his first killer.
It was you.
It was me, Eddie. Understand, Mr. Clover. I couldn't take a chance with that girl losing $100,000 because a girl like that is alive.
Come on.
Sylvia, they'll kill us. You made me do it. You know you made me do
it.
Put
out your hands, Eddie.
Look, we didn't have to kill poor Frank. You made me. I didn't want to do it.
Briscoe.
Listen, Mr. Clover, listen to me. It was her. It was her all the time. It was her fault.
Shut up, Eddie. You're really nothing. Zero in an empty box. Nothing.
In the minutes before the dawn, Broadway lies huddled in a dreamless sleep. The silent street is part of it. A long, blank night. The time of no stars. The muted wind. And from far away, the whispers. Start running, kid, or you'll never get home again. It's Broadway. The gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway. My beat. When Detective Danny Clover returns again with Broadway's My Beat. It's produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed and conducted by Alexander Currie. The program is written by Morton Fine and David Friedman, and stars Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, with Charles Calvert as Tartaglia,
And included in tonight's cast were Mary Shipp, Kathy Lewis, Jane Avello, Lou Krusman, Joe Forte, and Jack Cruz. My Beat has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Another 5-minute mystery.
Should open easily. Two turns right. Stop at 32. Three turns left. Stop at 16.
Get away from that safe, Carter.
I was just checking on some tickets that I left in the safe tonight, Mr. Thompson.
Carter, you've been a cashier with this railroad for 15 years. How could you think of doing such a thing?
Well, what are you talking about?
You've been gambling rather heavily these past few weeks, Carter. You decided to let the railroad recoup your losses. Well, stay where you are. I'm calling the police.
Oh, no, you're not.
Put down that bar, you fool.
All right, I'll put it down.
Oh. How are you feeling now, Carter?
A little better, Sergeant Evans. I can't see very well, of course. I broke my glasses in the struggle with the killer, and I'm not much good without them.
I hate to pour these questions at you when you're not up to par, Carter, but it's important that you help us immediately.
I'll do anything to help the police find the man who killed Mr. Thompson.
Good. Now, you say that you and Thompson came down here to prepare some ticket sales records for the railroad.
Yes.
About what time was that?
I should say about 9 o'clock.
About what time would you say the thief came in?
About an hour later. We heard the door open, and when we turned around from the safe, he was standing near the door, pointing a gun at us.
What happened then?
Well, he demanded we give him the money from the safe.
How did the struggle begin?
Well, Mr. Thompson walked straight at the thief and dared him to shoot. He was warned to stop or he'd be killed, but he continued to go right at him. Thief lost his nerve or something, for as Mr. Thompson made a sudden lunge at him, he didn't shoot, but instead hit him sharply over the head with the butt of his pistol. I ran forward immediately and grappled with the thief. And it landed a blow in my jaw and I fell to the floor. I got up as soon as I could, but I heard him starting his car outside the office.
Did you run outside?
Yes, the car was just pulling away, but I managed to get the first 5 numbers on the license plate. I wrote them down on this slip of paper.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This'll be a big help in the evidence to be presented at court.
Well, I'll be happy to testify.
That's a wise idea, Mr. Carter. A murderer always should at his own trial.
What clue did Sergeant Evans uncover that led him to accuse the railroad cashier of murder? In just a moment, we'll know, but first... story.
Are you accusing me of murdering Mr. Thompson?
Yes, Carter. There was one slip in your story that gave you away. You admitted to me only a few minutes ago that you lost your glasses in the struggle with the thief and that you were helpless without them. Yet you managed to run outside the building and jot down several numbers of a license plate on a moving car in the middle of the night. No, Carter, there was no thief. But there was a murderer. Yourself.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
Oh, may I do something for you, sir?
I'll repeat the offer while I think of something.
I beg your pardon?
That's not the way I heard it first.
Did you want to see...
Mr. George Victor.
May I have your name?
Well, let's trade. Mine's Diamond, Richard Diamond.
Oh, of course. Mr. Victor's expecting you.
Well, it's too much to hope that you were.
He's waiting for you, Mr. Diamond.
Thanks. Any door?
Huh? Oh, straight ahead. Go right in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mr. Victor?
Yes. Oh, you're Diamond.
Uh-huh.
Come in and sit down.
Thank you.
You said you'd come immediately, and that was over an hour ago when I phoned you.
Well, I didn't want to come to my bare feet.
What?
I was washing out a pair of socks.
You're sure you're Richard Diamond?
Reasonably sure, yes. My credentials.
All right. You were recommended to me by Lieutenant Levinson of the police department. I want to hire you.
My fee is $100 a day in expenses. Unless we settle that first, I couldn't solve the case if it was tagged 100 proof.
Here are two checks. One for 100, the other for 5.
Oh.
You get the 100 if you take the job, and the other one if you do the job satisfactorily.
Tell me all about it.
You may have heard that I bought the controlling interest in one of the biggest newspapers in the city.
That I heard.
All right. I'm going to expose the numbers racket.
That's been tried before.
I know, but this time it's different. I have all the evidence I need to expose one of the biggest operators. Aaron Ziegler.
Oh, you do pick him big.
You know him?
We did some spitting at each other when I was on the force.
Well, then you know what he is.
Yeah. But you said you had all the evidence. Where do I come in?
Ziegler's my affair. Yours will be my daughter. Here's her picture.
Well, you can have Ziegler. I'm happy with this arrangement.
This is no joke, Mr. Diamond. My daughter works for Ziegler.
Oh? You got $1 million for every Mongolian in Asia and your daughter works? Hobby, perhaps?
She became infatuated with a man named Doug Saxon.
And went to work to support
him. Will you listen to me?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Victor.
Saxon has some connection with Ziegler. I objected to her seeing Saxon, and there was an argument.
And being 21, she walked out.
Yes. Ziegler gave her a job singing in the Nocturne Club.
I know the place.
Now, what I want you to do is...
I think I know, Mr. Victor. You've got evidence on Ziegler. That makes him an unhappy boy, and being unhappy, he wants to smile again. So he sets glamour lad Saxon loose. Your daughter falls for him and the frame's begun, right?
Ziegler told me he was going to stop me from printing the exposé of his racket. I know he'll use my daughter, Kathy.
What does she have to say about it?
She won't see me.
And you've got no idea what the frame will be.
No, that's your job. Find my daughter, stay with her until the paper goes to press.
And when will that be?
10 tonight.
Well, all right, Mr. Victor, you've hired yourself a boy. I'll pick up that $500 check after I pick up the late edition. Good day, sir.
Yes?
If you will excuse the expression, the retainer, $100.
Oh. Here you are.
Oh, well, thank you. I'd bow from the waist, but my empty money belt might choke me. I'll keep in touch. A couple of phone calls to old acquaintances who still kept in touch with the shady side of our city, and I had Saxon's address. A half hour after I left George Victor, I was punching the buzzer to Saxon's apartment. Good afternoon, Mr. Saxton.
Who are you? What do you want?
I'm Mother Hubbard, and I've come to look at your cupboard. Ask me in.
What's the idea? Who...
This won't take long, Mr. Saxton.
Listen, you...
I was just going to ask you to listen. But since you ask first, go ahead and give me something to listen to.
Did Ziegler send you?
Well, maybe. Maybe not. It's a nice place here. All the scenery. Phonograph, big overstuffed chair.
I'm glad you like it, but don't make yourself comfortable.
What's in the other room?
Look here, I don't know who you are or what you want, but...
Maybe Ziegler did send me.
Did he?
No. You a cop? Used to be. Always enjoyed my work. And I never enjoyed it more than when I was up against a character like you.
Get out of here.
Oh, now somehow getting tough doesn't look well on you. You're not the type, Saxon. From a quick but thorough study, I'd say you were more used to soft lights, sweet music, and setting up pigeons to be knocked over by your boss.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Kathy Victor. Know her?
What if I do?
You know her. And, Saxon, keep away from her.
Oh, now you're scaring me, sure.
Hey, what do you want from me? Why are you doing this?
I'm hired to do it. The name's Diamond, Richard Diamond, occupation private detective.
Private detective?
Yeah. You're going to make a phone call now.
I won't.
You're calling Ziegler to tell him you quit.
I can't do that.
Unless you want this floor lamp on your head.
Diamond, please. Please don't.
Now. That's better. Now, go ahead.
What'll I tell him?
Well, your health is bad. You're going to take a boat trip.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, then you think of something, but think.
But I... Hello, this is Saxon. I'd like to talk to Aaron. Oh... Well, I'll call back.
It's important.
Oh, it's important. I've got to talk to him. All right.
Get him.
They're putting me through. And hello. Hello, Aaron. Listen, I can't go through with the deal. Something came up.
I mentioned my name.
A man named Diamond. Richard. Yeah, that's right. I don't know, Aaron, but please, don't blame me. I did. Hello? Hello, Aaron. Aaron. He hung up.
Good. You do the same.
You don't know what he'll do, Diamond. You don't know him.
Oh, but I do. Well, happy landings, Glamour Boy.
You can't leave me like this.
You know, after a long look at you, I don't think I'd like to stay. Bye, Saxon. 20 feet of the East River look good on you. Okay, so it was a bluff. I knew Ziegler wouldn't be scared off that easily, but when you go hunting ducks, you put out a decoy. I did. The decoy was me. It was an hour later that I got back to my office building and walked into the lobby. The elevator door there was open, but the jockey was missing. I was about to take the hard way up the stairs when...
Diamond?
Oh, hello. Where'd you come from?
I'm under a cabbage leaf. Don't believe it. Get in the elevator.
I'll walk.
Hey, Mac. Mr. Diamond don't want to get in the elevator.
Maybe he gets car sick. Get in, Diamond.
What's the big idea?
Close the door, Mac.
Sure.
You know how to run this thing, Diamond?
No.
Start it up. Go on.
Okay. Floors, please.
I'll tell you when. This is far enough. Stop it. And keep your hands away from that door.
What are you going to do? Eat your way out?
He's a card, ain't he?
Oh, now, come on. Fun's fun, but I got business.
So have we.
We told you to take your hands off those doors.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, he won't go down.
Sure he will. He's just stubborn. Give me that sap. You see?
Yeah. Think he's still tuned in?
Let's see. Diamond. Hey, Diamond. Oh, he should know better than that. It ain't polite not to listen. Kick him in the ribs. Now, how about it, Diamond? You want to listen?
He's shaking his head. He says yes.
Okay. Now, stay away from the dame you're supposed to take care of. Go back to Victor and tell him you don't want the job. Tell him it's too rough, and if he don't understand, show him your bruises. Hey, give him a bruise where it shows. Look at that. I don't think he likes you kicking him in the chops.
What does he want? Bedroom slippers?
Okay, open the doors and let's get out of here.
Hey, think I ought to give him another boot? Just to make sure?
Ain't you ever satisfied? Go ahead.
Okay, let's go.
You know something? You got an awful disposition.
You don't come out of a beating like that right away. A professional working over is like spending a weekend in a taffy machine. I reached out and tried to touch things, but it was like trying to paint the inside of a balloon with a hammer. I was numb, and when the little jabs of feeling started pinching my cheeks, I found out that I was warm and sticky. Finally, I pulled myself up, stood there for a minute, decided my legs weren't macaroni, and went to the washroom to clean up. Then I headed for the Nocturne Club. It was too early for customers, but there was a bartender and a girl with blonde hair playing the piano.
We ain't open yet, Mac.
Oh, you ain't? Well, give me a bib. I may cry all over the place.
You look awful. Truck hit you or something?
I was blowing a tube in a high wind.
Yeah?
Yeah. Screwed me 8 feet into the ground.
Ain't that terrible?
Yeah, ain't it? Who's the dame with the fingers?
Oh, entertains here. Name's Victor, Kathy Victor. Got a swell set of pipes. Mm. If you're looking for a job, we don't need no tuba players.
Look, here's for a drink and here's something for you because you ain't open yet. Fix me something that'll turn me all one color.
Sure. Will it be black or blue?
Anything that goes with my tie. Bring it to the piano.
I thought you wanted it.
Oh, I'll laugh later.
I thought it was pretty good.
Hey, know the words to that?
Yeah.
Time in my hands, hmm?
From your looks, I'd say you needed time.
Oh, don't let the bruises fool you, honey. When the swelling goes down, my face is fairly normal.
Hey, blue and yellow make green, don't they?
Yeah, why?
I wasn't sure, but here's a drink anyway. Who knows? Maybe you'll turn plaid.
Sure. Here, put this in your pocket and go back in the bottle.
Sure, thanks. Yell when you want another one.
Hey. What's the matter? Why'd you stop?
I need a drink, too.
You get the jumps early, huh?
I work late. Catches up with me.
Oh, try out running them for a day. It does wonders.
Oh, I know you. You're a spy from Alcoholics Anonymous.
Mm. Go ahead, play some more.
Okay.
Kathy.
Hmm?
Your father sent me.
What?
Remember him?
Why don't you leave now?
Before we're really acquainted?
I don't know who you are or what you want, but if my father sent you, I'm not buying.
Okay, so you're having a good time now, but there's always the next morning. Thought of that?
I don't need anyone to take care of me.
Miss Victor, I'm not trying to take care of you. I'm doing a job. Maybe you don't know this, but you're being measured for a patsy. And your father's going to fit the same frame Saxon and Ziegler are working up for you.
You're crazy. But I like you, so I'll forgive you.
Now cut it out.
I thought you wanted me to play.
Look, you're spoiled. You had a mouthful of silver spoons and a handful of gold pieces for building blocks when you were a kid. But you're not a kid anymore. You're playing with bad boys.
Maybe that's the way I like them.
What do I have to say to make you realize, young lady?
What, Diamond?
Doug.
Oh, well, well, Mr. Saxon. I thought you weren't going to be around here anymore.
I changed my mind. You're changed, too, since I last saw you.
Well, only my looks. They'll heal. But tomorrow, you'll still be a greasy little gigolo.
You can't talk that way to me.
Oh, shut up.
I... never mind. Mr. Ziegler would like to see you. He saw you come in.
And where is Mr. Ziegler?
In his office, right back that way.
Okay, okay. I haven't seen Ziegler for a long time. Maybe he wants me to set his broken arm.
His arm's all right.
Well, stick around. You may find out you're a chronic liar. Keep playing, baby. I'll be right back. Like I said, I knew my bluff with Saxon wouldn't work, but I had what I wanted. A look in on Ziegler. And maybe a hint on what the frame was going to be. I walked to and into his office.
Well. Diamond.
Hello, Ziegler.
Oh, what happened to your face?
Oh, got it caught in an elevator.
Oh.
What do you want with me?
Diamond, here's a grand. Go out and have fun tonight, huh? All night.
Oh, that money won't do me any good.
Why not? That ain't counterfeit.
Well, it's yours. That makes it so lousy, it's liable to crawl right out of my pocket.
Well, then get rid of it in a hurry.
You get rid of it.
No, it's better waking up with a headache than not being able to find your head at all.
Oh, look, Ziegler, you don't scare me. Now, let's level. You know why I'm here. Let Kathy Victor alone.
You want to see me, boss?
Well, look who's here.
Oh, you know Tony Diamond?
Hey, we met, yes. Mm-hmm. He stubbed his toe on my chin.
I don't know what you're talking about.
When was this, Diamond?
You know what it was, about an hour ago.
You're crazy.
Yes, Diamond. Tony was right here with me all morning.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Are you leaving, Diamond?
Yeah, yeah. Got any other ideas?
Yes. I think you should consider my proposition.
I'll let you know.
About what?
Things in general.
Oh, no.
All of a sudden, you're happy.
You make me that way, Diamond. You're working the dark, aren't you?
I'll feel my way around.
Believe me, Diamond, there ain't a thing wrong. Why, we love Miss Victor here. Just because her old man gets excited and hires you to bend an eye over her, don't mean anything is wrong, does it?
Since you ask me, I'll tell you. The answer's yes.
You think so?
Yeah. Otherwise, why beat me up? Why offer me a grand to look the other way?
I don't know nothing about the beating. And as for the grand, I like you.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, Ziegler. I think I'll go now. And just to make you happier, I'll probably stick with the case.
So long, Diamond.
Oh, by the way, Ziegler.
What now?
Did you say this gentleman's name was Tony?
That's his name.
Okay, Tony.
What?
I wouldn't do this for everyone, but your shoelace is untied. You're allowed to trip over it.
What are you talking about, eh?
Bombs away.
Oh, that ain't nice, Diamond. When you do that to a man, you're liable to bust all his teeth.
So what? You probably had your eye on the Goldmans anyway. Be good, Ziegler.
Well, hi there. You looking for another drink? Now, I got one here that I just fixed. You know, you kind of got me started on that color business.
Where'd the girl go?
What girl?
You know, Ann Saxon. Where's he?
Never heard of him.
Have you ever been to Hamilton?
Huh?
Has his picture on all $10 bills. This one's suitable for framing. In your pocket.
Can't do it, mister.
Two pictures of Hamilton?
Well, they sure would look nice on me, but, I work here, mister. I got a wife and kids, see?
Yeah, I see. Okay, fella, forget it. Well, I fell for the oldest gag in the world. Kept busy someplace else while Saxon walked out with the girl. Now, I had to find her. But where? I had until 10 that night to stop a frame-up I didn't know anything about. But I played a hunch and headed for the 5th Precinct Police Station and Lieutenant Walt Levinson. I walked in on him.
Diamond, oh, no.
Hiya, Walt.
No, please go home. Nothing good can come of this.
Why, Walt, I'm surprised at you.
Well, I'm not. You've got some horrible joke up your sleeve. I don't want any part of it.
I can only stay a few minutes. I want to know about a guy named Saxon.
Douglas Saxon?
That's it.
What's the matter? Can't you find things out for yourself?
Right now, Lieutenant, I'm a citizen asking about a guy. Now, what have you got on Saxon, Walt?
Not a thing. He was clean when we picked him up a couple of times.
Why was he picked up?
Why are you so interested in him?
Oh, it goes with my business.
Oh. And if I tell you?
Well, I'll tell you something sometime. Now, come on, Walt, give.
Okay. He was picked up on suspicion of handling narcotics. But that's a job for the vice squad. Why is he so dear to you?
He's working for Aaron Ziegler.
This, Mr. Diamond, is not news.
He'd be just the boy to work a frame for Aaron, wouldn't he?
If it involved a gal, yeah.
This does.
How?
Don't know. Yet. But, if she was picked up with narcotics on her, it'd be a nice frame, wouldn't it?
What makes you think it would be a frame?
This gal looks too healthy.
Yeah, but you could be wrong.
Why?
Because for some stupid reason I like you, and I don't want to see you make a fool of yourself.
Oh, why would I do that?
For this dame.
What dame?
The one that Saxon's going to frame.
Is he going to frame her?
Of course he is.
I'd better get her out of it.
Certainly, that's just what I was saying.
Bye, Walt.
Rick.
Yeah?
Thanks.
What for?
For not dragging out that who's on first routine. I don't think my stomach could have stood it today.
Oh, Walt, you're an idiot.
Yeah. Be a good boy.
When you pound a police beat in New York, you make a lot of unusual friends. And if you ever get in plain clothes, those friends come in handy sometimes. I grabbed a cab in front of the precinct station and headed for Chinatown. Walt and I had known an old Chinese named Wu Lee who had been around a long time. He knew everyone and everything that went on in Chinatown. And if anyone knew where we could find Saxon, he did.
Saxon, is possible I do not know him.
Oh, I
I think you do.
Just so. You said this man Saxon deals in sweet dreams. However, his rumor not proved.
Does he ever come to Chinatown?
You'd like perhaps a cup of tea?
I ask this as a favor, Wooly.
Enemies are made to do evil. Friends to ask favors. Sometimes is no difference.
Will you tell me, Wooly?
You ask in name of friendship?
I do.
Very well. In Chinatown is establishment owned by a man named Fu Shen. Perhaps, I say perhaps, this man Saxon is there.
He's been there before, hmm?
My eyes are old, perhaps mistaken.
Not your eyes.
I shall give you address, then make call to Fu Shen. You'll be allowed to enter his establishment.
May you live 10,000 years.
And may you live to mourn at my funeral.
The old boy gave the address and I left his shop. 5 minutes later, I walked through the back door of the old frame building and Fu Shen bowed from the waist to let me upstairs to a private room that fronted the long hall. I noticed there were three other closed doors in the floor aside from the big room downstairs. If Kathy Victor was in the building, she had to be in one of those rooms. I walked into my room, closed the door behind me. There was a bed in one corner and a chair near it. A low table was near the bed and a dim light threw diagonal shadows like fingers across the walls. I waited until the proprietor had time to get downstairs, then I opened the door and looked out in the hall. It was empty, so I started throwing open doors. I had to be quick before I had a dozen hopped-up thugs on my back. The first was a cold turkey.
Beat it! This room's in use. Diamond!
Well, Mr. Saxon, I presume.
Look, Diamond, lay off me, will you?
Where's the kid?
I don't know who you mean.
You will.
Oh, Diamond, my arm. You're hurting.
So here's another twist for size.
Ow.
Now sing, Saxon, and loud.
Look, you got it wrong.
How wrong can I be?
Okay, but it wasn't my idea.
I can believe that. Ziegler thought it up. You pulled it off for a couple of grand.
Listen, if I tell you we let me go, the girl's all you want. Let me go, will you?
Where is she?
In the next room.
Walk ahead of me. And in case you get any ideas...
No!
Now walk ahead of me. Open the door.
You got my arm!
You got another one, but not for long if you try anything. Open it.
There. There she is.
Oh, out cold.
She's all right, just...
You're just knocked out, huh?
Let me go now, Diamond.
Sure. So this was the game, huh? Bring her here, knock her out, plant narcotics on her, and then push her into the street to get picked
up. Look, I showed you where she is. Now give me a break.
You know, I was just thinking of that. How would you like it, in the arm or in the jaw?
Oh!
Crumb. Now, come on, Mr. Victor. Let's wake up now. Come on.
Mr. Diamond, you got bad habits.
Yeah, Tony, and one of them is running into you.
Okay, Diamond, keep your hands where I can see them.
Right on the ends of my arms.
Oh, what a sense of humor. All right, Diamond.
All right, what?
I think you're going to get a hole in the face.
Just a minute, Tony. You hear anything?
Yeah.
Those are police cars, Tony, coming here.
You're crazy.
Yeah? You don't think I'd come here alone, do you?
Get over there by the door.
Look, Tony, you got yourself all dirtied up for Ziegler. Is he here? No, he let you and Saxon walk around in the mud. Those cars are almost here, Tony.
Shut up, I got orders.
You're rubbing me out, I know. But what if you do? How are you going to get out? Got an answer for that?
They ain't coming here.
Now, they didn't go past, Tony. Now, listen. I got nothing against you. Make a break for it. Out the back door. All I want is the girl. Go on, fast, before it's too late.
Yeah. I ain't gonna take the rap for nobody.
Diamond! Rick! Diamond, you in here? Diamond! Up here, Walt. Come on.
You all right?
Yeah, sure, but I sent a package, special delivery, out the back door.
Now, we've got that covered. Otis will sign for it.
Okay, wonderful. And now... Hey, wait a minute. Huh? What are you doing here? Why'd you come?
Why? My ulcers told me you were up to some stupid business. I know when you left me, you had some dizzy idea in your thick skull. I'm a cop, you know. I checked with Wu Li, too. Hey, that the girl?
Yeah. She'll be all right. Coming around okay.
Uh-huh. Oh, and Saxon.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what did you hit him with?
Start.
Limp.
Yeah, Walt, listen. If the papers get word of this, this kid's father will be ruined.
If she's in the clear, you've got my word. No one will hear about it.
Well, I know she's in the clear, but I can't leave her here. I got a job to do. I was hired.
You want to take her, huh?
Yeah, I think she'd like to go home.
Okay, I'll take your word she's all right. Now, beat it fast before the narcotics boys get here.
Thanks, Walt.
Come on, baby, snap out of it. Come on, come on.
Get her out of here before we're all booked for obstructing justice.
I'm going. Hey, Walt.
Yeah?
How are you going to explain knocking over this joint before the vice squad?
Why, didn't you know I got a reported homicide here? I'll let you know what happens. Where'll you be?
Oh, silly boy. Where else but Helen's? Now, come on, Cassie, baby. On your feet. On your feet. Walt.
Now what?
I love you.
I'll marry you later. Now take off. Oh, my stomach.
Oh. Hello, Rick. You're late.
Hey, get a load of those silk slacks.
They're lounging pajamas, darling.
I've been in a lot of lounges, dear. Never saw anything like those.
You like them?
Yeah, they're all right. It's the stuffing that gets me.
Rick.
Be proud of what you got, baby. I knew a guy who had 16 toes on each foot.
What good did that do him?
He used to tell everybody he was a duck, made a fortune selling his hair for pillow stuffing.
You look awful.
Could have been worse.
Oh? Was she pretty, Rick?
Who?
The girl in the case.
What case?
Why were you late getting here?
Oh, well, I had to take a girl home and introduce her to a man, her father.
I see. How long did that take?
How'd you know about the girl?
Lieutenant Levinson phoned, asking for you. Oh. I took the message. He said, she's all right. And a man named Saxon did a lot of talking.
Oh, wonderful.
Who's she? Who's Saxon?
I'll read all about it in the papers, dear.
Is she blonde or brunette?
Both. Blonde with a brunette disposition. Got the piano tuned, huh?
She's pretty as I am.
Oh, funny. Nobody is. Oh, well, nothing to do until the office opens again tomorrow. Time on my hands. You in my arms. Nothing but love in view. And then if you fall, once and for all, I'll see my dreams come true. Moments to spare for someone you care for, one love affair, just the two. With time on my hands and you in my arms and love in my heart, all for you.
How long did it take you to take her home?
Oh, let's forget her, Helen.
I'm willing. But are you?
Look.
Oh, what nice big checks.
Yeah, another day, another $600.
Are we going out for dinner?
With what?
Well, you've got a handful of checks.
Baby, I got news for you. The banks are closed.
Oh, come on. I know the bartender at the Nocturne Club.
Oh, no.
You have just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell, with Virginia Gregg as Helen and Ed Begley as Lieutenant Walt Levinson. Also in the cast were Wilms Herbert, Larry Dobkin, Gene Bates, Stanley Waxman, Paul Dubov, and Hi Averback. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by Russell Hughes. Dick Powell currently may be seen in the motion picture version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. This is Eddie King inviting you to be with us next Sunday at this same time when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. What's on NBC today? Great shows for Sunday on NBC include The Adventures of Sam Spade and Theater Guild on the Air. Helen Hayes and Walter Abel co-star on Theater Guild today. And for his caper, Sam Spade turns to television for help. You'll enjoy both these stellar shows. Sam Spade, then Theater Guild, today on NBC. Now stay tuned for James Melton and Harvest of Stars on NBC.
That's going to do it for this episode of Case Closed. I'll be back next week, as always, with another couple of old-time radio detective stories. In the meantime, you can find past episodes of this show and more radio drama at relicradio.com. Also links there to our forum, Facebook page, Shoutcast stream, and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, certainly appreciate it if you're able to help out. Big thanks to those who have. Things usually quiet down in the summer, so it's extra helpful. And, of course, thank you for joining me today. Talk to you again next week with another episode of Case Closed.